I want to talk a little bit about how David acted beyond the law. And I'll explain later why I think that's worth thinking about. But I simply want to start off by demonstrating that he really did look a bit beyond the veil. He acted in ways that were against God's law, the law of Moses, technically, and yet they expressed at times a higher spirituality than that law. For example, 2 Samuel 6, when he brings the ark to Zion, he definitely acts as a priest. His sons, although not Levites, are called priests in 2 Samuel 8, verse 18. He talks in the Psalms about how the Lord is his inheritance, perhaps alluding to the way that the Levites had no inheritance and the Lord was his inheritance, even though he was not a Levite. He was from the tribe of Judah. And he clearly acts as a priest. He even says in the Psalms, "I refuse to offer the sacrifices of wicked men for them," as if he was quite used to sacrificing. That's in Psalm 16, Psalm 119. And so when he brings the ark to Zion and he sacrifices every six paces from the house of Obed-Edom to Zion, the whole road to Zion being like a stream of kind of sacrificial blood, he is acting as a priest and he's clothed in a linen ephod. Well, he also deals out bread and wine. He really acts not only as a priest, but even as a high priest. And when you look at a whole number of things in his judgments of others, you again see him thinking he can go beyond the law. For example, rapists were to be stoned. But in 2 Samuel 13, when this happens in his own family, he lets them off. He does not root out the rapist. He does not have him stoned. He does not apply the law of Moses. And then in 2 Samuel 14, there were laws about blood guiltiness. And in 2 Samuel 14, he sort of waives them somehow. He sort of thinks he can say, yeah, okay, I'll see you right. No, okay, you don't have to do that. And when you look at really his marital life, how he married Saul's wives and also his daughter, well, that was an abomination, but he still does it. And in fact, when he sins with Bathsheba, Nathan says, you shouldn't have done this because God gave your master's wives into your breast. That is, you had a legitimate loving relationship with the wives of Saul. Well, he also has married a Saul's daughter. I mean, the whole thing was really very mixed up. When Amnon tries to rape his sister Tamar, she says, look, why don't you just ask Dad, that's David, to allow us to marry, and surely he'll agree. Well, that would have been quite against the law of Moses, and yet she knew that her dad would likely give that agreement. Now, when, say that the woman of Tekoa basically suggests that the Mosaic laws about the rights of the revenger of blood be sort of forgotten about and overlooked in her case, and David agrees. So all the time, he is going beyond the letter of the law. Now, you could say that's because he was so spiritual, because he had such insight. And yet, we must not forget that God is serious about his law. I mean, Saul was condemned for offering sacrifice when he was from Benjamin and not from Levi. 1 Samuel 13, and Uzziah likewise, 2 Chronicles 26. He's condemned for doing the very things that David does. So clearly, God is serious. And yet, this position that David got himself into of being beyond the law, I think it leads him into a few problems. One of them was with Bathsheba. He clearly thought that because, well, yes, I see the spirit of the law, I see the spirit of all this, he thought he could do what he did. And this was a terrible sin, and he was only saved by absolute grace. And another example would be when he first tries to bring the ark to Zion, and he thinks he can just plonk the ark on a wagon pulled by oxen, when the law was very specific that, in fact, it should not just be put on any sort of carriage like that. It must be carried on poles, and not just by anybody, but specifically by only some of the family of Levi. And David just thinks he can overlook that, and he can't. And therefore, Uzzah is struck dead when he puts out his hand to steady the ark when the oxen stumble. And David was much displeased over that. It's as if God just put his finger into the whole thing and said, look, David, my law still stands. My principles still stand. Now, we who live under grace, I think, need to remember this. Because we are not under the Old Testament, we're under grace. We can, I think, abuse that grace if we're not careful. We can end up being presumptuous, as David was with Bathsheba and bringing the ark to Zion. Now, he says in Psalm 119, which was written at the time of his persecution by Saul, not that long earlier, or before the incident with the ark, he says that he studied God's law all the day, that he just longed for the daylight to come so that he could engage again with God's law and how he memorized it, etc. So he must have known those laws about how the ark should be carried, but he chose to think that he was beyond them. And I think for us, we have the Old Testament there to sort of just bring us up at times and to make us realize that God is a holy God. And for all his grace and his passion to save, and it seems to me his desire to almost force through his program of saving us, he also has this very strict side and this desire to be respected and for his word to be respected and not just to be ridden over roughshod, as David did, bringing the ark to Zion on a wagon rather than having it carried, as God had asked. And we need to be careful of that, that we don't lose sight of that. And that is why reading the scriptures daily is necessary, because you see all sides of God's character, especially if you read systematically right through the whole text of scripture. You know, you come to the New Testament, you see Ananias and Sapphira struck down dead for lying. You could say, well, yeah, all right, so they lied. They wanted to sort of project a good image of total generosity. Well, all right, but they were generous, you know, they gave their money to the Lord, but okay, not all of it. And yes, they did, they were dishonest. They wanted to show themselves more righteous than they were. Zap, bang, you're dead. And bang, so's your wife. You got to remember the God whom we serve. And his grace is, I think, shown in even more highlight and even in more beauty by realizing this other side that he has. The fact that on one side, this is how he feels. You know, zap Ananias, zap Sapphira, zap Uzzah for, you know, trying to steady the ark when it's about to fall off the carriage. You know, you could say, well, you know, why did God do that? The guy was only trying to be helpful, and zap, he's dead. And again, you could say, yeah, well, that was more David's fault than his. And, you know, this is how it is, that we must always keep this factor in mind. Otherwise, you will come to slip into a sort of a reductionism, whereby you think, well, yeah, but the essence of the law is this, and the essence of what God means is that. And you can practice reductionism, both in sort of theological or doctrinal terms, as well as in moral behavioral terms, until you're left with actually nothing. Until you're actually thinking that you can live the life of a worldly unbeliever and still be saved. And this is where so many people go wrong, because they practice this kind of reductionism that begins with the realization that we're not under law, we will never be righteous enough, so therefore I'm under grace, so therefore, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Well, no. Sin is still a felt offense by God. He still feels it. his sensitivity, his basic core sensitivity to human behavior, hasn't changed. Grace doesn't mean that God just shrugs and thinks, oh yeah, that's them. Not at all. The wonder of it all is that having those feelings toward us of hurt and pain and sensitivity to our failures, he sees through that and loves us because we're in the Lord Jesus. And as I say, if he was insensitive to human sin, his acceptance of us would not be so wonderful. But the fact that he is so sensitive to human sin and feels it in the way that he clearly does, I think that makes his grace and his loving acceptance of us in Jesus even all the more wonderful.